knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy, it's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a Christian caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. I like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
I have a thought. I wanted to run this by you.
Okay.
I was thinking instead of saying we're a couple of dudes, that we're the Peabody and Sherman of podcasting.
I think that might be the only accurate way to describe us.
So we're the Peabody and Sherman of podcasting. We worship at the altar of Selene and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
I like it. I think it's good.
I don't know. It doesn't roll off my tongue as well as I hoped it would.
I don't like the We're the Peabody and Sherman. Let's just change our names to Peabody and Sherman.
All right, I'm Peabody.
Wait, Sherman.
Which one's which? No, Mr. Peabody's the dog.
Yeah, Mr. Peabody's the dog.
That's right.
Come on. There's no way I'm Mr. Peabody, so let's just skip that part.
Jordan?
Dan?
What's up?
Quick question for
you.
What's your bright spot today?
It's great to be back.
It is.
Don't call it a comeback.
I won't.
I guess my bright spot has been, I really have enjoyed over the time that you've been on making buttons. I've gotten a ton of them sent out, and there's a ton more to send out.
Of course.
And I would just like to give this little reminder to everyone that if you've not heard back from the emails, I can't respond to all these emails.
Yeah.
There are way too many. There are way more than I expected there to be, way more than last time, but they're all being sent out. And, but it's fun. I'm not complaining at all.
I really
enjoy it, and it's a great treat to be able to give a gift to a ton of people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not like biting off more than you can chew. It's like picking out a buffet and deciding that it's going to take a few weeks to finish the entire goddamn buffet, but you will eat that goddamn buffet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
That's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
But it is still, it continues to be fun and give me an excuse to watch a bunch of Survivor while you were gone. And so I would like to say that season 13.
13?
I think is the best season that I've seen so far.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. I thought you were going to, you were telling me that it was about to fall off the cliff. You had seen the future coming and it was going to be a disaster.
Well, they introduced Exile Island, and then also they introduced the Hidden Immunity Idol, and these are signs of bad things to come.
Yes, yeah,
that's for sure.
That's what you have made clear.
I will tell you this. What? Season 14 is where way too many twists start.
There we go.
Where they start throwing curveballs for no reason. Like, you can't plan from episode to episode, like, I don't even know if this is going to be my tribe tomorrow.
Right. Well, yeah.
It's outrageous.
This week on Survivor, you're on The Bachelorette.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's almost abusive, the level of twists.
Yeah.
But season 13 was the one that starts out divided by races.
Okay.
And the
wait, what?
Yeah. They start with an African-American tribe, an Asian-American tribe, a white tribe.
Interesting.
Yeah, and a Hispanic tribe.
Wild.
And it's not comfortable at first. It's 2005, 2006.
That sounds about right. That's when you might get away with that shit.
Someone thought it was a great idea and that, like, maybe it would prompt conversation.
Survivor season 13, race wars.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's bad at the beginning.
But
the story that develops towards the middle of the season and throughout is maybe one of the more compelling things I've seen on that show.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty, I don't want to spoil anything, but it gets high marks.
I think a lot of people would hate it if you spoiled something from 16 years ago.
Fair enough. So what about you? What's your bright spot?
My bright spot, Dan, is, I had a absolutely fantastic trip. It was astonishing. We adventured a lot. We saw waterfalls. I climbed a goddamn 2 mile long. Well, you know, I hiked it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was I went up high.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're from here where there's no high.
No.
It's just flat.
Yeah, concrete everywhere.
Over there, though, so high.
There's a lot of things that are up.
No, whenever I got up there, I could see other things from, like, further away.
Oh, that reminds me of season blank of Survivor, where they went up on a hill.
No, but it was, it was an amazing trip. It's great to be back. My bright spot is I feel like life is bright.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's always a nice thing to reclaim after a vacation. Get
very
to see
restorative.
Your dogs again.
Oh, it was amazing.
I'm sure they were quite missed.
Went apeshit when they saw me this morning. Oh. Went and picked them up. They jumped into my face. Fanny bit off half of my beard. It was brutal.
I needed a trim anyway.
I needed a trim. You got it.
So, folks, when we last left you.
Yes.
on this serialized show.
So are we going to finally figure out who shot JR?
No, but I had been not feeling all that well. It was not that huge of a deal. Right. I did get tested for COVID and everything. It was all negative and what have you. And the only reason I bring this back up is because, you know, we're coming back here on a Wednesday. And I'd really hoped that we would have been able to record some stuff before your vacation.
Yeah.
And then have it to, you know, sort of smooth things out on either end of it. But because I was not feeling well, we weren't able to, and I appreciate everybody being understanding.
And huge thanks to Jared as well.
Yes.
I listened to the episode.
It was a delight to meet Jared Holt and make fun of him about how he went on Reliable Sources.
sorry, I missed that. I had a couple. It was weird listening to you guys talk because I was listening as I was there, and I was like, ooh, I got something funny to say. Wait, I can't say it?
I don't have a mic.
This is wrong!
Brutal. So another thing that's interesting is we might be witches.
Uh-oh.
Alex was in Lake Tahoe all last week.
No. Unacceptable. I refuse. I refuse. Dan, prior to this show, the number of coincidences per month in my life, very low.
Right.
Now it seems astonishingly high.
The fact that our schedules match up in a very strange way when we don't really announce these things all that far in advance is upsetting, to say the least.
I don't like it.
So, there wasn't actually all that much to deal with in terms of Alex last week. So it would have been... no man's land anyway.
Yeah.
So today we are back.
Yay!
And we're going to be discussing August 1st, 2021 budget.
Ooh.
This is the Sunday episode. Very exciting stuff to go over. But before we get to that, Jordan, let's take a little moment and say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, Tyrus. Everyone knows you're actually a secret reptile, and we are constantly watching everything you do. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Tyrus.
Thank you. Next, Caroline J. from the Mohawk Nation in Ontario, Canada. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Caroline.
Thank you. Next, Ride the Cats to Valhalla. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, The Boulder. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
The Boulder is coming for you.
Sunday.
That was Mick Foley in Avatar.
Was it?
Yeah, in Avatar: The Last Airbender, there was an episode where they meet Toph, the earthbending. The first metalbender. And anyways, they do a whole nice professional wrestling thing, and Mick Foley plays the Boulder and does a full-on, wrestling
you
promo
guy.
You
got me really excited that Mick Foley was a Na'vi.
Yeah, man.
In the other Avatar.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
Next, I've listened to both of your god-awful movie episodes twice. Bring on more bad movies. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technocrat to give a shout out to. So what's up to the quokka that gave Alex Jones syphilis? Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right?
Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why are you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large.
I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much. Pronounced that quokka.
Yes, thank you very much.
Also,
yes, sir.
In updates to additions to Celine's family,
ooh,
we'd like to say thank you so much to Katie, who adopted a blue-footed booby because they needed some feathers in this family.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's very exciting. We got a blue-footed booby who is now one of Celine's children.
Here's the problem. So far, every time we do something, it winds up spiraling out of control.
Yeah.
I think this one might get us to arc levels of out of control. Like eventually everyone's going to realize that the only way we're going to make it through this is if we have two of every animal in the cult of Celine. That's just what's going to have to happen.
Let's not let it get to that point, but we do appreciate people adopting wildlife.
Of course.
So we're going to start here on Sunday, and here's where Alex is at. Big news.
Okay.
COVID. Bad news.
Bad news?
Bad news.
Okay.
Go to the front page of Infowars.com. You will see today's headline that we have the live show feed posted in, and it's quite a shocking headline. The British government officially warns that 2.6 billion plus people,
yeah, here we go, whenever you're ready,
buddy. That 2.6 billion people may die as a result of the mutations coming from the so-called COVID-19 vaccines that are really just what? Genetically modified injections.
Yeah, man. The British media is really letting it slip.
Wow. Yep. Wow. Okay.
Did you hear this story while you were on vacation?
I feel like if...
Did you miss this one?
If the British press had just been like, 2.6 billion gonna die, I think even I would have heard that in the mountains. Somebody would have screamed that far enough away.
A hawk would have come out of nowhere to deliver the news. So Alex is just talking about an article here in the Daily Mail that discusses some recent comments from the UK's Scientific Advisory Group for Emergencies, also known as SAGE.
Mm.
They warned that the possibility of a mutation occurring that could make COVID as deadly as MERS was, quote, a realistic possibility. The part that Alex is completely ignoring about the article is the part where it also says, quote, the SAGE report also claimed it was equally realistic that COVID will mutate to become less lethal over time.
Coming from the SAGE Council, future, uncertain.
Yes. Could be bad. Also, could be good.
Could be
fine.
Great.
This was a paper that encouraged the UK government to not give in to complacency, because at this point, there's really no way to know how COVID's going to evolve in the future.
Right.
The part about vaccines creating the mutations is just a simple misrepresentation of a single line in this Daily Mail article that says, quote, in a downside of Britain's hugely successful vaccination drive, the team warned the country's greater levels of immunity may help speed up the virus's evolutionary process. This isn't saying that vaccines create mutations. That's just Alex's made-up version of what that means. It's clear if you read the underlying report that this is a reference to the phenomenon known as selection pressure that occurs whenever you treat an illness. You wouldn't say that antibiotics create antibiotic-resistant strains of illness, but if you don't take a full course of antibiotics, you might fuck around and create antibiotics-resistant strains of things.
Yeah. How many times do we have to discuss evolutionary arms races before people are like, oh, evolutionary arms race is what's going on right here?
That's
gotcha.
That's what that was in reference
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
If you do care to look for this and actually, you can find the report if you want to look into primary sources instead of what Alex does, which is just skim Daily Mail articles. It's pretty easy to find that article or that paper if you want. It's titled SPI-M-O, Statement on Their Concerns for the Next Few Months. The framing of this document is really clear in that it's discussing possible circumstances the UK could find itself in that officials need to keep in mind as they embark on, quote, the final step of easing restrictions. Primarily, they list a key concern as being that, quote, any epidemic trajectory that could lead to unsustainable pressure on the NHS or other adverse outcomes would need to be identified and contingency enacted within days. The report itself actually has a graphic at the bottom of it that explains what they mean when they say realistic possibility. This is something that has about a 40 to 50% chance in their estimation. It's slightly more probable than unlikely and less likely than likely. All of this context is absent from Alex's coverage because he's just interested in misrepresenting headlines in order to scare the audience into whatever direction he thinks is going to be profitable that day. Also, that 2.6 billion number, that isn't from the report.
No.
This is just a calculation, Alex, or maybe you could even blame the Daily Mail for this. But it's just taking the death rate that you would have
MERS,
of MERS, which would be about one.
And then applying it to the infection rates that we see currently.
No, applying it to the entire world population. So it's assuming that the entire world
population. Everyone gets it.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
It's a little sloppy.
That is a little sloppy.
Yeah. And I think that what you have is a Daily Mail report that's kind of not great in terms of the underlying primary source.
From the
and
Daily then, Mail?
And then Alex is even further off course just with nonsense. But yeah, the British media is saying that...
2.6 billion, huh?
2.6 billion.
Any old day now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the big problems that we're experiencing right now is a simple kind of error, which is that in order to deal with this, we needed leaders who had the courage to say things that people didn't want to hear and then enforce those things as being necessary.
Mm.
But our system doesn't reward courageous leaders. It punishes them for sometimes being wrong or being right in a mean way.
Mm.
And so instead, we've got a bunch of fucking cowards.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
It is a mess. But
yep.
You know what? One thing I really always appreciate about someone like an Alex, even if he is, you know, off track sometimes, he really knows how to keep his own stories straight. You know, like he has these things.
I haven't been gone that long, Dan.
He has these things that he's researched and like he knows them.
Yes.
Forward and backward.
Almost too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's got a really good handle on stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the more incredible point, and I'm really wrapping my brain around this war game. But remember Crimson Contagion that we covered 4 or 5 months ago that got millions, 10 million views or so? General Flynn said it was the best work he'd seen on COVID. All we were doing was going over the war game from 3.5 years ago, put out by the Rockefellers and others, saying they would inject people with this vaccine, everybody would get sick, and then out of that would collapse civilization. SPARS pandemic, and then the Crimson Contagion. Emergency Saturday broadcast, world shock by SPARS 2025, 2028 document. It's the SPARS document, and then that's carried on into Crimson Contagion.
It's really sad to hear the way Alex is talking about these two exercises. He's made up a ton of shit about both to the point where he doesn't even remember which is which.
Nope.
The reality of either underlying thing isn't even something that he's connected to any longer, which is outrageous.
Mm-mm.
Neither of these things that he's talking about were run by the Rockefeller Institute, which he's trying to imply. Crimson Contagion was a series of exercises run by the HHS. It was a government operation. Because it was a big, elaborate scenario thing, there were a bunch of governmental and non-governmental participants. In the report, there's actually a list of non-governmental participants, and the Rockefeller Foundation isn't even one of them.
Great.
SPARS was a scenario exercise that was run by Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. These are two very different exercises, and the fact that Alex can get them confused is a very strong indication that he doesn't know anything about them past their name and the stories that he's made up about them. Crimson Contagion was a government-run series of exercises about the fictitious discovery of a novel influenza virus, not a coronavirus. In Crimson Contagion, the idea was to test interagency collaboration as well as collaboration with non-governmental agencies and tribal leaders to see what challenges would arise in the course of responding to a new infectious disease. The report is largely about the things that they learned in the course of role-playing, like, quote, response partners lack clarity on CDC's data-sharing policies, and, quote, confusion regarding the purpose of and target audience for national conference calls hampered coordination among state and federal response partners. This is not like an elaborate scenario that's fleshed out with a ton of detail in this case, because the point of the exercise was to have a basic problem that required coordination to address, which would create the opportunity for people to test that coordination in a safe environment and identify problems ahead of time. Conversely, SPARS is a little bit of a different kind of scenario exercise. This isn't something that was role-played like Crimson Contagion was. It's instead a document that lays out a fictitious future series of events, then poses questions about how you could best respond to those developments. SPARS is an exercise that is explicitly about messaging and public health risk communication, so it's something that doesn't really lend itself to role-playing in the way that Crimson Contagion did. Trying to explore challenges of public health messaging would be hard to do in a role-playing environment without a fake audience to send the messages to, so it makes a lot more sense to approach the issue in this format, where you have like discussion questions
and
scenarios like how would you respond if...
Right.
You got this curveball thrown at you.
So let's say Crimson Contagion was like a basketball practice and SPARS is like fantasy football.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like the basketball practice, you've got people playing, you're running through the scenarios that might come up in a game.
Uh-huh.
And in the fantasy football, you're studying and you're taking data and extrapolating based on that.
Or maybe like SPARS is like you at a chalkboard working out a play or whatever.
Perfect.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
Each section of that SPARS document is meant to highlight a different communication challenge that officials could face in the context of a pandemic. Chapter 17 is about messaging surrounding potential vaccine side effects, but none of the information Alex is providing is in any way consistent with any of that stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting when you are basing things on reality that have reference points, you can refer back to those if you forget details, you know.
If you make up details.
See, now, if you make up details about things and then create a completely different thing based around it and then forget what that is, you can't go back and find it.
Well, you certainly can't find the thing that says the thing you say it says.
Exactly.
But you can still say the name of the thing.
Yes.
And convince people you have read it and know what you're talking about.
You got it.
I understand the basic pieces of information that Alex is trying to run with here, and it's all bullshit, but I want to really drive home here that Alex doesn't even know the fake things he's talking about. He put out an emergency special report on Saturday where he started to get into this stuff, and here's what he said.
And you know what makes me even more concerned? You know why I'm really freaked out? I'll be covering this on the Sunday show tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. with the document. Crimson Contagion from 4 years ago, 3 years ago. They say in there that they're going to roll out a vaccine for a coronavirus, and a year later it's going to turn out it kills a bunch of people. And they even say public health officials will step down and apologize, and they're going to have new vaccines
what?
That'll
Why would
protect
they say
you
that?
From the variants that the mistaken failed vaccine creates.
So he was just saying that it was Crimson Contagion on Saturday, which matches basically zero of the details he's describing.
Yep.
So I would guess, here's what I guess. Yep. I would guess that he decided he was going to really push Crimson Contagion super hard on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then sometime in between then and the Sunday show, one of his interns or someone was like, you got the document wrong. You're talking about a different thing.
Yeah,
that's why he corrected himself on the Sunday show. But here he is on Saturday. Again, still just trying to push it as Crimson Contagion.
And if you read Crimson Contagion, if you read Event 201, if you read Operation Lockstep from the Rockefellers, and the Rockefeller Foundation is now in complete control of world policy. Gates has been removed partially.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They talk about how it's all going to come out they did this and how they're going to spin that through fear to then make you want to take even more vaccines they've created. But the saviors are going to come to you who are against all of this, who have the new vaccine that will protect you from the last vaccine. Now, that was in Crimson Contagion 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess okay. Bill Gates has been partially removed,
I
too.
I did
this
not
is big
know
news.
That. He'd gone from being in the Council of 12 to being mid-level management, to now he's out of the game completely?
I'm guessing if I were to ask Alex where he found out about this, he'd say it's in the white papers or something.
Sure.
And then I would just run into a wall.
It would be a really interesting document to read while you're reading it, it's like, and then when people read this document, we'll make them afraid of the document in itself. And you're like, wait a second, I'm reading the thing you're telling me I'm supposed to be afraid of now.
Ugh.
It's a mirror in a mirror.
Yeah. But I think that it's really important to understand how weak a grasp Alex has on these basic details about the primary sources that he's misusing. All these names are interchangeable for him because none of them actually are even real, according to him.
Yeah.
You know, in his world, they aren't real.
No, they absolutely aren't.
Over the course of his broadcasts, he's created entirely fictional versions of Crimson Contagion, Event 201, and SPARS, and then he's just completely fabricated Operation Lockstep out of that Rockefeller document that he's never read.
Mm-hmm.
These documents are real, and they're actually interesting to read, but not for the reasons that Alex insists they are. It's all fake.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is he's created so many bullshit scenarios out of these two scenarios, you know, like he's written an entire universe filled with characters trying to kill you and all of these things, and it's like The Simpsons, but you know, he can't remember any of the episodes, so he just kind of picks and chooses whoever shows up, and you're like, no, that's not where that goes, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where comic book guy is supposed to be. Comic book guy is back over there helping Bill Gates murder everybody. Why are you putting comic book guy in this episode, you know?
I should tell you that on the Saturday show, he does say that Bill Maher is starting to come around. So he might be working on casting people against type.
Now we're back on that again. Now we're back on that.
Secret Patriot Bill Maher.
All right. Okay.
Yikes.
All right.
So this is where I got worried. I was listening to this and I was like, oh, man, Alex, he might have prepared.
This information I studied today, like 6 hours. And when I almost fell down, I got dizzy when I contemplated it. When I stood up, I almost had a nervous breakdown.
Wow.
So dramatic.
He might have prepared today.
So melodramatic.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I was working on this for 6 hours, and I got dizzy when I stood up.
Dizzy when I stood up.
It was so intense, I got dizzy from the information. I don't know. I don't know how much harder he could try to convince people that he's doing anything.
Oh, boy. Yep. I have been working nonstop. I haven't slept for the past 48 hours. And the last time that I stood up, I lost one of my feet. And then I grabbed it and I put it back on. And I said, I gotta go to work today.
It's all because I've been reading globalist plans. What globalist? Oh, you know.
Nah, come
Crimson
on.
Contagion.
Listen, I would get into it, but I got dizzy the last time I learned about it, so I can't talk.
You don't want to risk that. So Alex gets into a little bit of something I would call a little bit fear-monger-ish as he comes back from break.
Antibody-dependent enhancement. That's the term you're going to get to know real, real well when your friends, your family, and you bleed out and die in the near future.
Ooh.
Okay.
So antibody-dependent enhancement is a real phenomenon that scientists do see at times. But it's actually really funny that Alex is trying to connect the possibility to COVID vaccines for a number of reasons. The biggest of them is that the possibility of ADE was absolutely something that researchers and experts were discussing in the early stages of developing a vaccine.
Oh, yeah?
If there is an active pandemic, giving people something that will make them respond worse to contact with viruses is going to be ultimately counterproductive and probably one of the things they're going to check off. Yeah. Early.
Great.
The best way to understand ADE is by talking about the first place it was identified, which was in relation to dengue fever. There are four varieties or serotypes of dengue fever numbered 1 through 4. If you get sick with dengue fever type 1 and then you survive, your body will create antibodies that protect you from that serotype, should you ever encounter it in the future. That's great news. However, the problem is that if you run into serotype 2, 3, or 4, there's a decent chance that the antibodies you have against serotype 1 will actually enhance the ability of dengue fever to replicate and evade being neutralized inside your body.
Oh, okay.
A secondary infection is actually really
much worse. Yeah. I gotcha.
Mm-hmm. The concept is a bit more complicated than that, but that's the basic idea of what the concerns are about ADE. In past studies, there's been indications that SARS and MERS were two diseases whose treatment involved concerns about ADE. Since this new virus, SARS-CoV-2, is closely related to those two, that was an obvious question that people were discussing. You can find tons of papers on the subject from early in the time of when vaccines were starting to come around.
The way he says it, too, is like, antibody, that's a term you're going to get to know real well as your family's bleeding out. And it's like, no, I won't, because they already learned it real well. That's the point. You're the only person hearing about it for the first time.
He's blowing minds, baby.
Jesus.
Some early indications raised concerns that having vaccines that attack viral proteins of COVID had the potential to cause ADE, which is one of the reasons that research skewed very heavily in the direction of mRNA vaccines and the targeting of spike protein instead of the viral.
Right.
Alex is pretending this is some kind of a big issue that everyone's ignoring, but it's not. The scientific community has kept the phenomenon well in mind, and pandemic response has gone on, and follow-up research on people who have been vaccinated and had breakthrough infections actually has shown that there really aren't signs of ADE with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
If there were ADE happening, you would expect to see vaccinated people having more severe cases of COVID when they're exposed to the virus, but in reality, the cases among vaccinated people are statistically less severe and have led to less hospitalizations and deaths, which are very strong indications that ADE is not something that's in play.
And I mean, just the fact that the vaccine has documented effectiveness against new variants as well would suggest very obviously that it's not that huge of a problem. If it were, then we would see an increased or even greater negative reaction from the Delta variant if you were vaccinated against whatever, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was listening to this and I thought that it was pretty clear that this is basically going to be how Alex explains away future deaths.
Yeah.
He's going to say that they're all just people who are vaccinated who have ADE related issues where they got the vaccine and then they got the challenge of being exposed to COVID and the globalists killed them.
Right.
All right.
Whatever.
So here's some big news, and I don't know, but I don't think this is big news.
You don't think it's big news?
I don't think it's accurate.
All right.
All right. I'm Alex Jones, your host. This is a live Sunday, August 1st, 2021 transmission. And let me just start right here with the big announcement. It is not debated by the CDC. It is not debated by the NIH, National Institute of Health. It is not debated by the NIH or the British National Health Service or any of the major governments of the world that the so-called COVID-19 vaccinations, whether they be a virus vector from Johnson & Johnson or AstraZeneca, or whether they be an mRNA from Moderna or Pfizer, all of them make you get COVID and make you shed COVID and make you create deadly variants and doesn't work.
Well, it's good to know that Alex has learned that AstraZeneca isn't an mRNA vaccine by this point.
Yeah.
That's an improvement.
Good work.
Although I will say my counterpoint to all this is all of that would absolutely be debated by any of the groups that Alex listed. There's complete bullshit.
Yeah, that's an insane thing to say.
So I'm going to lay out the claim that Alex is making just so we can parse this because it's really stupid. He's saying that all these different COVID vaccines, one, make you get COVID. Two, make you shed COVID. Three, make you create deadly variants. And four, don't work.
Yes.
None of this is true.
How could four be true if one through three are true?
I get, well, that's one of my problems with actually the fourth point is like, I don't know what not work means.
Yeah. I mean, if it's
too nonspecific for me to take seriously, well, so I'm not even going to address it.
Not just that, but I mean, if the point of it is to give people COVID, shed COVID, and then create deadly variants, then it very clearly is working.
Well, yeah, that's why I don't care to engage.
Fair enough.
His version of work and mine could be different.
Fair enough.
As it very clearly is. With point three, the claim that the vaccines make people create deadly variants of the virus, that just doesn't stand up to scrutiny either. The variants that we're seeing identified now came into existence before the vaccines were developed and administered. So I guess unless he has some other mystery variants that he's talking about, I'm not going to take this seriously either.
Get the fuck out of
Point
here.
One just isn't true. The vaccines don't make you get COVID.
That's not how vaccines work.
No. So this leaves us with point two about shedding virus, which is the only part that even comes close to being interesting. Some recent preprint studies have shown some indications that it's possible for people who have been vaccinated but end up catching a breakthrough case of the Delta variant, they could be as infectious as unvaccinated persons. This is a matter that we need more data on before we can jump to any solid conclusions, but it's something that makes it clear that we should all be cautious.
Sure.
These same studies that suggest this possibility also found, quote, viral loads decreased faster in the vaccinated group. So either way, there appears to be concrete public health advantages to being vaccinated, even if it isn't a magic silver bullet, and even if we're learning along the way new things that we were not aware of earlier.
Yeah, of course.
There are serious concerns that merit discussion about potential challenges we're still facing with the coronavirus, but to act the way that Alex is acting does a complete disservice towards anyone's ability to engage with this material in a serious way. If you get information from him, you have to sift through all this bullshit in order to reach one thing that's being discussed poorly, which is the idea that if you're vaccinated, you still might be contagious.
Yeah.
You can get the information that you need from better places without having to dig through a pile.
I mean, I can't imagine like an emergency broadcast alert suddenly breaking in while you're watching some dumb reality show like Survivor. And then the government's like, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. Anyways, just so you know, it's a possibility that breakthrough infections could be a problem. You're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. And it's like, that's what Alex is doing.
Yeah, and I don't know how useful that is. Also,
it doesn't help me.
Also, if the emergency broadcast system was fucking moody as hell, if it had bad days.
I don't even fucking care if you guys make it through this emergency.
Maybe we all should die. Hey. Maybe it's not an emergency. Maybe I'm fucking with you. Who knows? Maybe I should join the tornado.
Oh, God. FDR's fireside chats of just a moody Alex. All right. So we're fighting this fucking war. I don't even know. Does anybody even hate the Nazis anymore? I don't know.
Look, maybe the Axis power should win. I don't know.
Maybe the Depression is great. How about that? Maybe it's a great depression, huh?
The ratings on my fireside chats are down, and I am pissed about it. Yeah, that would be great.
That would be awesome. Courageous leaders.
Yeah, I would love the reimaginings of like historical figures with the temperament of a moody Alex Jones.
Yes, absolutely.
God, we would have never gotten anything done.
Oh, good stuff.
So there's some side effects and what have you from vaccines, but I do believe that Alex might be exaggerating.
And this is all a test to see what they can do to you. Just like they said 6 months ago, oh, it's a rare heart condition, a rare blood clot in the brain, a rare stroke. No, it's in the majority of people. Because it starts growing protein crystals. You don't have a virus. You get given protein crystals.
What?
That's what the spike protein is. And your body starts growing it. And in every case they've done this, it kills the lab animals, the vast majority. They knew what they did. Like if you poured a gallon of gas on yourself, let it soak in and struck a match, what's going to happen? You're going to burn to death. Or if you took a shotgun and put it in your mouth and pulled the trigger, you're going to blow your head off. See? This, and that's why I'm so shocked is this is 100% known, like eating a teaspoon of cyanide with your iced tea, you're going to be dead in 2 minutes. If I laid my hand out on this table, took a hatchet right to my fingers, it's going to cut them off.
Alex seems like intrigued by the idea of cause and effect.
Yes, it's kind of concerning me that this is blowing people's minds. In his eyes, he's like,
I need to illustrate cause and effect, causal relationships, four times in order for this to really sink in.
Let's start with entropy. Okay, so the universe is four-dimensional space, and we don't even experience time. I mean,
it's like if you drop something and it falls to the ground. It's like.
What's that? Is that John Mulaney's Ice Cube bit?
So this is
or Ice Tea bit?
This is a little bit much. I mean, first of all, just sort of from a presentation standpoint, I find it hilarious. But there have been hundreds of millions of vaccines administered in the United States. The majority are absolutely not experiencing
dead.
Heart attacks, strokes,
dead.
Clots, or death.
All
it's nonsense
of them.
Also, Alex is trying to make this point. He does it, this clip didn't fully capture it, but there's this idea that they skipped animal trials that he pushes fairly regularly,
yeah.
And they didn't.
Of course,
they
not.
Just were allowed to overlap animal trials with phase one trials because of the nature of the public health emergency.
Yeah,
they passed animal trials with no problems, but that information was largely ignored because we were more excited about the human part of it.
That would be the one we were looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was paled in comparison to the idea that even further progress was being made.
Yeah, no, I remember reading tons of stories that were like, scientists stoked by good vaccine results in tested animals. And I was like, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Why now? Me now. Quicker.
If something had gone wrong with like the animal trials as phase one trials were overlapping with them, we've been back to the drawing board.
Imagine if something had gone wrong. And do you really
think people would have expected it?
I think
it would not have surprised many people. It would have been an emotional blow, certainly. But I think the people would be like, yeah.
That's how science
things
works.
Happen.
You try, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. That's part of the game.
Yeah, failure is how you learn.
But those would have been very loud. They would have been everywhere. And Alex would have run with them forever.
You bet.
So the fact that he didn't proves that it didn't happen because he didn't do it when it would have.
Yep. So Alex has a study. This doesn't. This is frustrating.
So I've got the actual CDC study here. I'm not going to just show you articles at Infowars.com. I'm going to show you the actual study. Overhead shot, please.
Why? You can't trust
CDC
them.
Released a study showing 3/4 of Delta cases are among the vaccinated. Says masks are the answer. More lies from the same people. It goes on to say 74% of the individuals that have tested positive took the vaccine, and it goes on into all the different sloughing off of new, more deadly variants of the virus, which all these top scientists warn would be the case.
So that part's not, at the end, they're not really accurate.
Nope.
So what he's talking about here was a targeted study surrounding a cluster of cases that occurred in the wake of, quote, multiple summer events and large public gatherings in a town of Barnstable County, Massachusetts. There are important questions to ask about this cluster, and I would not begrudge anyone raising concerns about what this sort of thing could imply, but that is not what Alex is doing. He's misreporting and making leaps in his coverage that are unearned. For instance, the way he's covering this story, you'd be led to believe that this has to do with 74% of all Delta variant cases being among vaccinated persons. That's how he's speaking.
What he'd say.
The CDC has a report that 74% of Delta cases are vaccinated people.
They're liars, so you know they're telling the truth.
Well, this time they are.
What?
Yeah, this time they are.
Okay, fine.
Because it works for me.
Sure, it helps me, so they're telling the truth.
Alex is missing the appropriate context, that this was just about 469 people who tested positive after attending events in Provincetown. The 74% number is definitely worth looking at, and it is a concern, but this study does not involve a representative sample that you can extrapolate to the rest of the world. There's far more information we need to track down before this number can be understood in its really full, proper context. If you read the actual CDC report, you'll find a very important note that it's key to remember. Quote, data from this report are insufficient to draw conclusions about the effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccines against SARS-CoV-2, including the Delta variant, during this outbreak. As population-level vaccination coverage increases, vaccinated persons are likely to represent a larger portion of COVID-19 cases.
Yeah.
This is to say that if in this series of events in Provincetown there was a 95% vaccination rate, you would expect the total number of infections you'd see in an outbreak to be low, the total number, but the proportion of those infected who are vaccinated would be higher.
Right.
This is because no vaccine has a perfect effectiveness rating, and also that's just how statistics work.
Yeah.
Provincetown is a place in Massachusetts that's well known as a very LGBTQ-friendly environment, and if I had to bet, I would say that it's a place you'd find pretty high vaccination rates. So, you know, in the event of an outbreak happening in a place like that, it doesn't surprise me too much that the percentage of people who are vaccinated would be high.
Yeah.
That's what you would expect.
Yeah, I've read that. I've read too many takes on that, and very few people are applying the very rigorous context that needs to be applied before you can even engage with that information without terrifying people.
But it's still something that you should, you know, it's,
no,
not,
absolutely.
It's not nothing.
No. It is very important. And if you understand it within the full context of what it is, then it's very interesting and something that needs to be looked at and studied. But if you are just reading a WAPO headline, then you're fucking terrified.
Yeah, and there's another important thing, and that is that if you take that number, the 346 vaccinated persons having breakthrough cases in this outbreak, if you only focus on that number, you're missing an important figure, which is how many vaccinated persons might have been exposed to the virus and didn't get sick in the course of these public gatherings and large events. I'm not saying that any of this makes the story like less a matter for concern or something people shouldn't be focusing on, but it's just critical in these times to take this stuff in the proper context and not extrapolate this out to 74% of cases are vaccinated people.
Yeah.
I'm concerned, quite frankly, about unknown unknowns, obviously.
Of course.
How could you not be? I barely left my house this past week because Lollapalooza was happening.
Yeah.
The city was a mess.
Yeah, I was stoked to be in the woods while Lollapalooza was happening.
Yeah, it's rational to be concerned, but it's irresponsible to behave the way Alex is doing and disseminate information
totally.
In that way.
Yeah.
It's just, it only can lead people to make dumb, ill-informed decisions.
Yeah.
So when I say something like that, I mean to emphasize it. And I can't emphasize it any more than Alex can himself.
Give four examples of cause and effect to emphasize this.
He already did that.
Oh, okay.
But here I actually didn't understand cause and effect until I started listening
until
to
you started listening. Yeah. Okay, well, let me give you an idea.
Now,
on the table, hatchet, problems.
I'm still working on object permanence because Alex doesn't have that one down.
I fought myself in a mirror the other day.
So Alex says that, you know, he gets onto another story that is about a similar theme, that is like vaccinated people are getting sick.
Sure.
And what he uses as a source here, unbelievable.
But let's look at some other countries, see what they found, because I don't just believe the CDC. Look at this. Andrew Bosman, MDMS, I link through right to the government of Finland. Finnish hospital, just one example. C19 Delta variant outbreak. 103 infections among HCW's inpatients and 18 elderly inpatient deaths. Two-thirds of infections, 66% and 67% occurred in those partially or fully vaccinated with mRNA vaxxed. And I got stacks of these.
I beg anyone who takes Alex Jones seriously to consider how sloppy and lazy this process is. Instead of actually looking into any primary sources on Finland or any possible outbreaks that have happened there, what you just heard is how Alex has decided to present this story. This is Alex reading a tweet from an unverified account that's allegedly run by a guy who either holds MD and MS degrees or is claiming to have houses in Maryland and Mississippi. This is not how someone who takes their job seriously would operate. So I found the tweet, and Alex is legitimately just reading the body of this guy's tweet, which was accompanied by a screenshot and a link to a Euro surveillance article.
Okay.
This is not me nitpicking or being an asshole. Like, Alex is not reporting on the study. He's reporting on a tweet. He's not read the study. He has no idea the words he's reading, what they even mean. He doesn't know what HCW means.
It's that great level of right-wing nonsense where you can just take a random dude with 20 followers tweeting, there were 3 million illegals voting, and turn it into the number one narrative that people throw around a fucking election.
But it's a mess, and it's such shitty work that I don't even know why I found the study and read it, but suffice it to say, it's another very small snapshot of an outbreak that happened at a secondary care hospital in Finland in May of this year. Mm-hmm. 45 healthcare workers and 58 patients ended up contracting COVID, and if you look at the data, one of the things that jumps out as possibly most concerning is that people who were only partially vaccinated might have a higher risk with the Delta variant. 48 out of the 103 cases were among people who were only partially vaccinated, as compared to 35 who were unvaccinated and 20 who were fully vaccinated.
Right.
There's other dynamics between the like healthcare workers and patients, the drastic age discrepancies of those groups.
No, the variables are,
Again, it's something to keep an eye on, but you know, this is not just a case study that you can read a tweet about and assume that it applies to the entire like general population.
There are zero case studies you can read a tweet about and then just extrapolate from there.
Well, this must be true of all the world.
I'll just take this tweet at its word.
Boo.
Oh, boy.
So Alex gets back to teasing this this British article. I think he thinks he hasn't actually talked about it, even though he opened the show talking about it.
Right.
So we've got all of this coming up tonight, and then the really big news, the British official government agency responding to bio threats has come out, ladies and gentlemen, and said mutants from the vaccinated may create a super strain that they believe will kill 2.6 plus billion people. That's the headline
at
InfoWars.com.
Oh, it's also equally likely that it'll mutate into something that is harmless.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
Hmm.
Sometimes, you know, part of, and this is going to blow everybody's minds about here, you know, like, you know, when you evolve, it's like to survive and to like propagate and to continue. And sometimes one way to evolve is to not kill your host and then just keep going, you know? Another way to evolve is to kill your host, but
sure,
could go either way.
So, when's the last time you remember Alex saying he figured it all out? A week? 2 weeks?
I don't know. I mean, maybe in my dreams it was last night.
It happens a lot.
It happens all the time.
Every, like, at least 3-4 times a month,
Alex will
come into studio and say that he's
finally figured it all out. I got it. It took me a long time, and I know I've said this before. So much that you might not believe me this time, but I believe it.
But this time, he definitely has. And here is what's going on, man. Okay. This is it's nefarious.
Okay.
These plans his enemies have.
It's a who's who of elite scientists saying this is insane, and basically everybody that's taking a shot is going to be an invalid. If they're lucky, a lot of you are going to be dead. So now they're getting ready to start giving you, for the rest of your life, I guess, blood thinners and other stuff. I mean, they have really hurt you bad.
I've always wanted thinner blood.
And you're like, that'll collapse society. That's what the globalists want. They don't care what happens to Joe Biden. They don't care what happens to... They want to bring down civilization. They want a post-industrial world. How do you do it? You kill billions of people and you make millions of people sick, and that'll collapse civilization. Everybody else will be scared to go into work or be around anybody or be around the vaccinated. This is a psychological weapon of fear. It's meant to destroy confidence in the government. You think the U.S. government will ever have credibility again when this all comes out? And it finally all clicked this morning, and it's why I actually got dizzy. Well, you've heard of, like, women will get told, hey, your husband was just found dead, and the woman will stagger back and fall over. I've been studying all day, and when this all crystallized in my mind, like 1,000 points plus 1,000, I actually got dizzy, and 2,000. I was stumbling around, and it all hit me. I had to sit down.
I thought you were dizzy.
That's why they did it during Trump and got him to sign on to it, to discredit Trump and nationalism and patriotism.
Oh, wow.
And populism. And they knew that Trump would be so pigheaded, he'll keep defending it even as it starts killing everybody.
You're so, you. You're talking
they
to you.
Really know what they're doing. I mean, these are sophisticated people.
He just described all the stuff that he did. He just described all the stuff that he did.
It's very sad. Although it's hilarious at the end of that clip being like, these are sophisticated people, after he lays out the stupidest shit I've heard in a long time. Yeah.
That's so annoying. Yep. That's so annoying because he's making it up and then he's complimenting himself.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
No.
He's giving himself a compliment about how brilliant his enemies are because the plan he made up for them to have is also brilliant.
Yes. And the plan that he came up for them to have is something about how, like, his worldview and his God King are so important and so powerful that the globalists needed to use a worldwide plague in order to discredit him.
Have to discredit Trump. That's what we had to do. That's the man. That is a level of narcissism that's really hard to wrap your head around.
That's exactly the word I would use.
Yeah.
It's so small-minded.
Yeah. That's that level of delusion where anywhere other... How you get to do that for a job?
A pandemic. This must be about me.
I know. That's what I'm saying. If you didn't have this for... If Alex wasn't doing this, if he was just a person at your job, you'd be like, we need to talk to doctors about you.
Yes.
This is what needs to happen.
Yeah.
Somehow you can just either... Okay. Either we all agree you go talk to doctors or you get a show. Hmm. Those are the only two things that we can do for people with your level of delusion.
Well, I should tell you that a plane just crashed in Malaysia and somehow this was an attack on me.
I guess we're going to have to give you a show then.
Now, I can tell you exactly about how this plane crash relates to me, but I don't have time because I prepared too much.
You prepared too much about it.
And I got to go to break.
Just know that they're willing to kill me because of this plane crash.
Yep.
And what I know about it.
So Alex has proven his points, and I think he thinks he still hasn't talked about this British story.
And again, if you're a new listener, it is completely confirmed. Absolutely confirmed. Even mainstream news, the vaccine doesn't help you, hurts you, and makes you spread all this other garbage. Just what all the scientists said over a year ago would happen. And it's just a giant trap, a giant bear trap we're all caught in. And I haven't even hit the new news. Sage, that's the big government agency in the UK. They say that the vaccinated could trigger a new super variant that kills 2.625 billion. Stay with us.
Policy of truth, baby. It's awful. I don't know what he considers covering a story, but from my experience, him reading a headline is about as deep as he gets. Sometimes he'll riff on some stuff every now and again. He's covered this story, according to my estimation, at least three or four times in this episode. I haven't gotten to this news yet.
Yeah.
I think you have.
I mean, in many ways, you haven't. But I suppose by your definition, you have.
He's gotten to it as much as he's ever going to.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it.
He
yes.
said the number.
He did. Yeah. He kept repeating 2.65 billion.
Yeah.
I love the idea that no one would do anything about that. Mm. That, like, as millions of people are dying, everybody's going to be like, well, let's just wait. Let's just ride this out and see how many go down. Like, even if it was this, there would be a very serious reaction long before we ever hit 1 billion people.
Well, I mean, I do remember when Alex and all of his people and people in his intellectual and political sphere were saying, let's just keep going and not do anything. Yeah. So, I mean, I can kind of imagine that because happen.
That's fair.
Before.
That's fair.
So I was like, all right, I don't understand why Alex thinks he hasn't covered this story, but it was getting a little bit repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
And then the exact opposite thing happened. And then there was a story that I was begging him to get into. And it just, I hate him.
The heads of major medical schools, the dean of the Baylor Medical School. That's a top 10 medical school. saying this is crazy and evil and wrong. She's just out today.
So I have no idea here what Alex is talking about. Like, there's multiple deans of different medical...
I don't know what that even
medical
means.
..schools within Baylor. And I found one guy, who, you know, Dr. Peter Hotez.
Uh-huh.
He's had a lot of comments about misinformation being horrible during the pandemic. I don't think that can possibly be the person who Alex is talking about.
I assume Alex would be more angry at that person.
I don't know. He said she, though, and the guy who I'm talking about,
yeah.
Dr. Hotez, he is the dean of the School of Tropical Medicine.
Okay.
And so the actual dean of the School of Medicine, the other School of Medicine, is Dr. Jennifer Christner.
Uh-huh.
He could be talking about her, but I don't know what she said. I can't find anything. But to imagine that you have this guy who's super anti misinformation about COVID and about the pandemic,
yeah,
and then this other person who's like, it's all evil. Like, they're both deans in the Baylor School of Medicine. It's like, holy shit, that is diversity of opinion.
That's true. That's true.
That's exactly what the right says doesn't exist in higher education. So I don't know, but at the same time, like, I'm listening to this episode. And without going on too deep of a wild goose chase, I don't know who he's talking about.
I suppose if I was a vindictive propagandist, I would find somebody saying that misinformation was a real problem to be offensive to me, and also accurate. And so I would then include them in my misinformation as an insult.
That could be what he's doing. I'm not sure. And maybe we'll learn more as the episode goes on. But at this point, Alex has a guest. It's a gentleman by the name of Chris Skye. He's a Canadian weirdo.
Okay.
We're not going to listen to too much of him because he's a Canadian weirdo.
All right.
So Chris Skye, back in September of last year, was extremely prescient looking at their own government documents that have been confirmed to be real, where they're talking about the permanent lockdown and a permanent dictatorship. Since he was last on, in fact, I forgot it. Guys, get the Nova Scotia health minister. Says we need to stop people demonstrating, stop people going outside, keep lockdowns, he said, to stop people talking.
That clip is actually about a press conference where they're talking about easing restrictions on lockdowns.
Yeah. So it seems like Chris Skye was not right.
Well, it's interesting when you have like a claim that lockdowns are permanent, and the thing that you come up with to reinforce your claim is something that says the opposite.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Vindictive propagandist.
Mm-hmm. Also, Chris Skye, he's a real weirdo. He's a fellow whose dad runs a successful real estate development business in Canada, and he is mysteriously the vice president of said company. He also has no kids, yet he runs a group called Mothers Against Social Distancing. He got arrested this year for allegedly threatening to kill a bunch of people.
Well,
shooting them in the head. But of course, this is a setup, according to him.
Well, naturally.
There's an awesome article in Vice by Mick Lamoureux about his plan to he wanted to start a bunch of anti-mask schools. You might think that he was doing this with money out of his own, like his own money, because he's kind of heart and he's charitable.
I don't think so.
Nah, he was going to raise the funds with a GoFundMe.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yep.
Yeah.
According to the article, quote, in the enrollment agreement he shared, parents must accept that their kids might be taught by volunteer teachers with no personal accreditations, but with with experience in education. That is a tough sell, especially when you consider that in the description section of the GoFundMe that he was using to start the schools, he misspelled public school as pubic.
Welcome to Trump University!
Also, just because this is really fun, here's another thing from the article. Quote, Skye didn't respond to a detailed list of questions sent by Vice News about his projects. After the questions were sent, Skye made several social media posts about an upcoming Vice News story about him, in which he implied, I was a pedophile and George Soros directly ordered me to write this piece and shared my phone number to his followers. Cool guy, this Chris Skye.
Yeah. That's how you prove you're innocent.
Anyway, he's a flamboyant anti-mask character, and he's got a cool neck tattoo, so he's got a bit of online attention for him, and so he's been hanging out with Alex a little bit.
God.
They're just yelling about...
That is grounds for parental divorce, if I've ever heard them. Like, if your parents are like, hey, we're sending you to Chris Skye School, you can be like, I'm leaving you. Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
I'm getting a divorce from my parents.
Goodbye, emancipation.
Yep. So we're not going to listen to any clips of Chris Guy because I don't really care, except for unless he wants to come on and pitch his schools. then we might have to listen to that.
I want a press conference where he is peppered with questions about school in general.
I don't think Alex would give him the most adversarial interview on the subject, but I would be interested anyway. if it's just going to be cookie cutter anti-mask shit, yeah. I can get that anywhere. Yeah. He's not that interesting.
No.
And after he leaves, the Baylor Medical School comes back up.
I mean, we're talking about three university heads I've got clips of. Baylor Medical School, two other top heads coming out and saying the shots are deadly, don't do it, it's a disaster. All these other top scientists. I probably watched 4 hours today of 6-7 hours of research of just clips of medical doctors and scientists, and I'd track down their curriculum vitae, and they'd be who they said they were, and match with the research and the documents and the CDC saying 74% of the new COVID cases are in people that are vaccinated, and they're worse, and most of the deaths are in them.
I don't like how the first step of his research was like, they're not an imposter.
Yep, checks out. I looked at their picture ID.
They're a real person. Also, on the same show that he's leading his reporting on this story from Finland with a tweet.
Yeah.
So, great.
Yeah.
That 7 hours has paid off.
Awesome.
I still don't know what's going on with this Baylor situation.
There's three deans.
I'm interested.
There are deans.
I'm interested. I want to know what he's talking about.
There are deans.
He's got me on the hook.
There's deans.
So, Alex talks about one of the things that he does best, and that's predict things. He believes that predictions are the best way to wake up the sheeple out there because they come true and then you blow minds, right? And that's really convenient to do whenever you don't bring up all the things you've been massively wrong about constantly.
Yeah. There's that one.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to answer for all of your record, that's trouble.
It's really easy to make predictions and get them wrong and then still claim you're right whenever you never face consequences for your actions.
Yeah. It's easy to be a sniper when you're allowed to use, like, carpet bombing.
Yes, absolutely.
And then you pretend that you didn't hit everything around the target.
I didn't hit anything at all.
Yeah.
No.
So anyway, Alex is like, I'm really into predictions.
And yeah, predictions are king because you're already awake. You listened. You heard it. You did your own research. When we're able to get the predictions I made and Chris Sky made and Mike Adams made,
all of which were wrong.
Dr. Wudarg and Dr. Yedon and all these guys, that's what wakes sheeple up. Okay? When they see it, that finally gets them to wake up.
That's what wakes the people up, man. Them sheeps.
You gotta lie to them. Oh. Exploit them emotionally, and then they'll wake up to the things that aren't true.
Now, granted, I would say this. If Bill Clinton ended up being the Secretary General of the United Nations and then President of the United States again after Hillary had 2 terms, I would probably be freaking out that Alex called that.
Reevaluate everything I've ever known about anything ever. That would fundamentally shatter my understanding of human beings forever.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, there is that one.
Possibly. No. We forget those bad ones. And we just pretend that these vague things that he said are accurate.
Yeah, people always like to go to those Nostradamus predictions that are a little bit vague and have plenty of room for interpretation however you want them to go.
You bet.
Yep.
So, unfortunately, I have bad news. Mike Adams is on. But actually, I was thinking about it, and I kind of enjoy Mike Adams' appearances now.
Okay.
Because I kind of understand him better.
Okay.
He's just a dramatic, like, adolescent.
Yeah.
He has almost, I would say, the emotional maturity of somebody who's in maybe not a senior in high school, like a junior.
He's one of those people who got rich enough where they don't have to grow up.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he's responsible and, like, you know, he holds down whatever his businesses are and stuff. And I don't think he's stupid by any stretch. I just think that he comes in and it's just everything is so over the top.
Yeah.
And I kind of enjoy that. And there is this fun narrative, too, that's gone through the pandemic with him being Alex's best friend at the beginning.
Right.
And then Alex tried to see if he could hang out with David Icke. And David Icke was saying that there was no virus.
Right.
And then Mike Adams got mad and went away for a while. And now he's back and Alex isn't hanging out with David Icke anymore.
Jesus.
And it's just, there's just a weird, fun high school thing going on with these guys.
is. Yeah. There is. Yeah. It's so frustrating that this petty bullshit also comes along with high school drama.
Yep. And also, David Icke still has a section on Alex's website where he is posting videos for no one to watch about how there is no virus, which is great. I'm glad Alex is still platforming that.
What are you going to do? Kick him off? Can't censor anybody.
I guess you could ease much more easily with David Icke than Nick Fuentes, I think. A year ago,
mm-hmm.
you may recall, Mike Adams is going to come into the fray here in a minute.
Sure.
But a year ago, they were saying that hospitals were full.
Yes.
They weren't. Bullshit.
What?
It was bullshit.
Right.
But now.
They are?
A year ago when they said all the hospitals were full, they weren't. We sent people to them. Folks went and showed it. This year, I've got friends and family that work in hospitals. I've got crew that work in hospitals. One of the staff here's wife works at one. It's full of people that can't breathe. It's full of people dying. And guess what? They're all inoculated, just like the numbers show. So it's just what Mike Adams and I and others said. The shot will make you sick. Then they'll blame the uninoculated for it. They've done it. We're now here.
So this is an interesting reality that he has us living in.
No, I reject it. I reject it entirely. This is unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck him. Fuck that. Fuck that so hard. Fuck that.
Well,
just fuck that.
Fair. Now, we remember that Mike Adams declared it over for humanity and there would only be lone survivors a ways back. He has a new prediction. That may rival, I don't know. You can never de-escalate from it's over for humanity.
It's really hard to de-escalate
but
from
this,
there.
This is still a little bit silly.
And I'll say here right now today, events have already been put into place. We're going to see millions of people dead in the next 12 to 36 months because of these vaccines, and it cannot be stopped.
Wow.
Many people today are walking dead.
It cannot be stopped.
What a prediction.
These events have been put into motion. They're, you know, within the next couple of years, millions dead from the vaccine.
That would still be way better than if we didn't have the fucking vaccine.
Conceivably, but it also is outrageously inaccurate.
Oh, it's complete bullshit.
But, I mean, I guess we'll see. I'm going to guess that this is one of the predictions that is going to go in the Bill Clinton as Secretary General basket.
Probably.
Going to forget we did this one.
I think they're going to let that one go.
Yep. So Mike blew my mind for a little while. He seems to think that there's a bigger plan going on, mm-hmm. right? So all these news reports that are coming out about how people who are vaccinated can still, you know, the Delta variant,
sure.
you might get it,
sure.
and it might be transmissible.
Sure.
There's something behind it. They're really trying to. They're trying to cause a reaction.
Okay.
The reason they've done this, and the reason that they've admitted now over the last week that these vaccines don't work, and that they're causing the spread of these so-called Delta strains. The reason they're doing this is because they want an uprising in America. This is bait. They want an uprising even among those who were vaccinated and then are now angry and coming to their senses and saying, what, we were lied to? They want a massive uprising because they need a justification for a military-style martial law crackdown in order to cover their tracks because their entire globalist system is about to implode and many of them are going to go to prison or be tried under Nuremberg 2.0.
Yeah, so apparently... they are telling everyone that the vaccines don't work in order to try and get people to freak out and rebel. And that can be put down by a military coup or some sort
sure.
of martial law. And
sure.
that will distract from the fact that the vaccines don't work. And I don't know. I just
are really sophisticated people.
It's a fun,
that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with geniuses.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, it's a fun story.
It's not. It's not that fun a story.
It's a fine story.
Eh.
I wouldn't read it.
What kind of uprising are they? What kind of uprising are they looking for? You know, like, do they have a boutique uprising that they want that would be optimal for them, or do they want more like a graduated insurgency kind of thing?
Oh, we know that burning down a police station isn't enough to bring in martial law. So
nope.
I don't know what they're trying to.
I don't know. And, I mean, not even trying to overthrow the government installed martial law.
Oh yeah, good point.
So there's that.
Yeah. Anyway, Mike believes that if you've been vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
and this is actually something he's been saying quite a bit on the show. This is something I remember hearing him say even a ways back. is basically like, you're a biological weapon.
Ooh,
factory.
No!
The people who've been vaccinated are walking incubation vessels for deadly bioweapons that are being spread. It's all happening on purpose. The so-called vaccines are really gene therapy injections, which
so
are highly
farms.
Illegal.
Humans are now petri dishes or farms
right.
for this colonizing creature.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, boy. Better not explore this logic to its conclusion, where for the sake of protecting everyone, you might have to kill vaccinated people.
Mm. Great.
Yeah.
They're at this place now where they're like, they've taken Karl Rove's, you know, that turn a strength into a weakness, that swift boat kind of thing. You know, you're a veteran, so destroy that credibility. They have just turned that on reality itself. Just a complete, like, if you're vaccinated, you're the one who's incubating the virus and spreading it. See? Ha ha ha. It's definitely not all of us unvaccinated people who spread it around all the time because we don't even fucking believe that it's real. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not us. It's you guys who are evil, who are spreading the disease.
This strategy shouldn't surprise you at all. I mean, Alex worked with Jerome Corsi for years.
It doesn't.
One of the swift voters.
You know, but it's just like, it's so direct attack on reality. Just a fucking shot right at the face of reality, not trying to avoid it or even allow for it to come into existence.
Yeah.
It's so fucking intense.
So I gave Mike a little bit too much credit too early.
Yes.
I told you that he was blowing my mind. And
sure.
I gotta be honest, those clips that I played are not blowing my mind.
They weren't doing much for me.
Now, we're gonna get into it. Mike brings some heavy shit here. So you might notice that all these woke corporations, right?
Yeah.
All these corporations that are like really woke.
The ones that donated to Trump's campaign?
No. Other kind of woke.
Okay.
They're making their employees get vaccinated.
Yes, that's very woke.
There's a reason.
Oh.
The real shocker here has, have you noticed over the last week that all of the so-called woke corporations have now demanded mandatory vaccines among their own workers? So we're talking Facebook, Google, Twitter, Disney, Walmart, even the Washington Post, and many other corporations like that. They know that they are ordering the vaccine slaughter of their own people, their
interesting
own
strategy.
And you ask why? Why would they do that? Well, at Google in particular, and by the way, Zach Voorhees has been a guest on your show explaining all of this. At Google, the humans have been teaching Google's machine learning systems and AI systems for the last 5 years how to no longer need humans in the loop when it comes to moderation.
They don't want to have humans around that know how to counter the AI later and the knowledge. The enemy
exactly.
that lowers the traitor that lowers the drawbridge always gets executed by the army that takes over.
I got to say, I think that might be the first time you stood up laughing. That was a big one. That one got you.
I wasn't ready for it.
No.
I wasn't ready for him to respond to that like the twist in a sci-fi movie.
What?
Where all of a sudden it all comes into play. This is
Shyamalanian.
This is not fucking Ocean's 11 where they reveal the plan at the end. What are you guys fucking
man.
Doing?
Yeah, it's all these woke corporations are trying to kill off their employees with vaccines.
Okay, so you could lay off people.
Right.
Or you could kill them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Interesting strategy from Google. We're going to see how this one plays out going forward.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think this deserves an but whatever. All right, Mike. Cool. You got anything else,
Let's
Mike?
Hear it.
The globalists are now acting as if they have knowledge of a global level mass extinction type of event or threat. Probably one that they are going to unleash, and they want to make sure that there are billions fewer human beings around when that happens, because they can't control billions of people once people realize they've been lied to and they've been poisoned and they're being killed.
I'm going to elaborate on this because you're going way out third dimensional chess. You're absolutely right. They're acting like
third
a gun
dimensional
is
chess.
To their head to go ahead and get rid of us now, because what's going to happen is so destabilizing. They know that could organize into a new political group that challenges them. So they're acting like that there will be no resources very soon. They're acting very desperate.
Yeah, my apologies. I do tend to just leap ahead because you and I have a knowledge base and your listeners have a knowledge
Don't
base
say
of
that.
So much that the average American is just clueless about. So I do tend to leap ahead. But look.
Look, man, we are so smart that sometimes I go A to C on you. Like,
wow.
We're a good improv troupe, basically.
Wow.
We were making those
Jesus.
Those big leaps.
Oh, man.
So I was a little confused.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Thankfully, Mike is it is nothing if not a teacher.
Let's clarify this, yeah.
Let's just say, as a thought experiment, that a giant asteroid were going to hit the planet. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but let's just say that were going to happen in 500 days, let's say. And the globalists
okay.
knew about it. Would they tell the people? No. They would never tell you. You wouldn't know until you see it in the sky, a giant flaming mountain like in the book of Revelation, you know. The reason they wouldn't tell you is because the globalists need the infrastructure to function so they can continue to stockpile food and parts and fuel and all the things that they need on their private islands and underground
they
cities and caves
right
and everything.
They use us right to the last minute to build up their stockpiles.
Exactly.
Because we, right now, we're robots. Exactly.
They have everything
now. If they told
all of
the
it.
People,
they have
hey,
it all.
A giant mountain falling out of the sky in 500 days. And again, that's not my prediction. That's just a thought experiment. But if they told people that, everybody would stop working. Everybody would go home and decide, you know, how do I want to spend my last 500 days on this planet? Probably with your family or something,
well,
right?
That's it, Mike. Let's stop for a minute. You're an engineer. So you're looking at math, like you're wargaming. The way
oh
you're
my
behaving
God.
Is like this
right.
is already going to happen. Exactly.
Yes, we can infer from their behavior. Why are they going to the private islands? Why are they building the underground tunnels?
Why would
tunnels,
they risk releasing
Texas?
Something that would kill so many people, as I've said, because
yes.
there's going to be something bigger coming?
This is wild.
This is watching 9-year-olds argue over a book report that neither of them did.
Yeah, and honestly, I think the only way that this can be described as a thought experiment is if you're like, well, Mike's experimenting with thinking.
Yes, yes, he's really trying. He's playing third-dimensional yeah. chess, I will say that.
Yeah, so according to Mike, the globalists would never tell the public if an asteroid were going to collide with the Earth because they need infrastructure to continue to exist until the last minute so they can stockpile resources in their bunkers or whatever. If they told people, you know, all in the public that they had X amount of time before imminent demise, people would just stop working and spend time with their families, which would hurt the globalists' ability to get those last-minute supplies they apparently need in their bunkers.
Wow.
Parts.
What?
Food and parts.
What a great, like,
so
here's the best part of that. Here's the best part of that is
yeah.
that they truly believe that an extinction level event would be like, listen, guys, we got to wait 3 business days
yes.
before the money transfers into our
yeah.
live over the
look,
end of the world
look,
account.
Look. We can't end the world yet. My food is
exactly.
It's
in the refrigerated truck. What am I supposed to do with that?
It was delayed.
Oh God, we gotta wait till the
Hold
world
off
ends.
The apocalypse.
Push the
Hold
asteroid back. Push it back.
What am I supposed to be in my bunker without this fresh fruit?
Oh my God. Oh my God. 4G. 4G reception is all I have in my bunker right now. Do you really think I'm gonna live out the end of the world with that? No.
It's amazing.
Jesus.
Simultaneously, though, this entire show and Mike's initial point has to do with public messaging around the pandemic shifting to the globalists admitting that the vaccines don't work and that everyone's going to die. According to Mike's own thought experiment, the globalists are acting in a way that they never would if a disaster truly were imminent. This shit's about to go really bad, and if that's the case, there would be stories about breakthrough cases and the Delta variant and stuff. I don't understand, and honestly, this stuff is the most infantile, nonsensical garbage, but I do kind of like listening to this because Alex and him really seem like they're having a good time.
They really do. That's yeah. the problem. That's the problem. They're both like bouncing off each other like,
yeah.
this is great bullshit we're yeah. spitting right here. This is the good stuff.
They like to blow each other's minds. And, you know, when Alex says that someone's hit, like in this episode, he says that like Mike Adams has a farm here in Texas and he's a good friend. I believe that.
I do.
And it makes me sadder that he couldn't come on the show
yeah.
and Alex was pretending the COVID maybe didn't exist. Because they do have a good time with each other in ways that, like, Steve Pachanik, there's a power imbalance.
Totally.
And Alex abuses a bunch of other guests, talks over them, and doesn't give them a chance to say stupid shit like
yep.
Mike.
Yep.
I think him and Mike actually are probably friends.
Yeah. Yeah. He and Mike have the relationship that Owen thinks Alex and Owen have.
Yeah.
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 Yep. But Alex knows that Owen's his little baby boy.
Yeah. Owen can't riff like Mike can.
No.
Coming up with this good stuff.
What are we fucking talking
Owen's
about?
Owen's never going to get a, oh.
No, Owen's never Alex. Getting an up.
So,
poor Owen.
Mike has some more thoughts.
And Alex, why do they not care that they are absolutely destroying the reputation of the CDC, the FDA, the vaccine industry,
you thought
the WHO,
they were lying before?
And the Biden regime itself? Answer, because none of those things exist
exactly.
in their plan
they don't
in
care
a few
about
years.
Universities, they don't care about banks, they don't care about the FBI. That
That's my, right.
Yeah.
Those are the only things they care about.
Exactly, and they don't care about how much money they print because they know they're going to collapse the dollar anyway.
Okay, so the next couple of years, all this stuff is going to be gone according to their plans, and dollar is gone as well.
This is like the grand unified field theory of shit I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what they're just like, okay, all this stuff that I don't know, I don't think they care about the banks is the craziest thing I've ever heard anybody say.
They're not concerned with the reputation of the thing I've been smearing for years.
Insane.
Yeah.
Just insane level of shit where they can say this and their brains don't explode.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
It's unfair.
It is. It's unfair.
Yeah. And another thing that's unfair is this next clip.
Okay. Great transition.
So one of the things that we've been doing these episodes in 2003, and one of the reasons is I want to know if Alex thought he was fighting the literal devil
right.
in 2003. And the reason that I want to know that is because he's made it abundantly clear that he does think that.
Yes.
In the present.
Absolutely.
And when he says stuff like this, I just want to throw a brick at my computer.
Let me use another analogy. They made a deal with aliens. They're going to blow the planet up in 2 years, whatever it is. They built them a spaceship, and they're leaving. And then they've just got a deal. They get the spaceship, and they help kill us quietly and make sure nobody wakes up and challenges it. And I'm not saying that's what's happening, but what Mike is saying is true. They're acting like everybody's dead, and it's all over unless they basically call us off. We'll be right back. I mean, folks, I'm telling you, Mike Adams is on fire today.
Alex, he can't duck behind that. I'm not saying that this is what's going on is what they believe. He's explicitly multiple times said that this is what's going on.
Yes.
The devil is behind the globalists. He gives them their marching orders.
Yep.
This is bullshit.
Yeah.
It's just, come on, man.
No. No. No.
The cat's out of the bag. The toothpaste's out of the tube. You think you're fighting the fucking devil.
You think
devil.
You're fighting the devil. Don't come at me with anything that isn't ultimately about the devil trying to corrupt humanity.
Don't try and, retain some veneer. Or try and get back some credibility of, no, I don't actually think I'm fighting the devil. You fucking think you're fighting the devil.
Come on, man.
So now, predictions.
Yes.
That's how you blow the mind of the sheeple.
I guess.
Mike has some predictions.
I have it on bad authority that he's on fire today.
He's on fire. These are not good predictions.
Mike, I'm intrigued by this. I'm going to try to shut up. Continue getting into this and their behavior. And is there any way to short circuit it? Because
short circuit. Also, you know you're in trouble when Alex starts a sentence with, I'm intrigued by this.
I want to hear more.
Clearly, when there's hundreds of millions dying, which is already starting to happen, they're all going to go to prison. They're all going to get destroyed unless they know something even bigger is coming that is going to eclipse what they've already currently done. Or maybe it's a nuclear war. Maybe it's an EMP strike. I mean, there's so many wild cards, but whatever it is, it's bad and on a magnitude much bigger than this. Do you agree?
Yes. The most likely scenario, and I've wargamed two primary scenarios of what I think is going to happen. I'll share both of them with you here. The first one is what I was talking about last break, where they're going to engineer a planned financial collapse, freezing of the entire global banking system, all transactions frozen. And then, of course, the dollar collapsing. And then this will unleash a humanitarian crisis, which will justify Biden calling for UN troops to come into the United States, actually communist Chinese troops under the UN banner
sure.
on, quote, humanitarian missions.
That
so that's
right.
That's scenario one. And in that scenario, it's just going to be door-to-door executions, COVID concentration camps, mass murder. And that's even for those who survive the vaccine, you're still going to be targeted for murder.
Okay, so that's option one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big option.
Sure. Collapse of the dollar.
Has
Chinese troops under the guise of UN
right.
Folks coming
right.
in, door-to-door executions.
Right. See, now this is the thing.
And we should also point out that if you believe other things Alex is saying, 5/6 of your immune system will also be wiped out.
Yes.
Everyone will basically
yes.
be dead I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's over for humanity, sure, is what he's saying. Sure.
He's probably trying to spin a few too many plates.
The thing about it is, isn't it, like, you know, I get if you're listening to the show and sometimes you see a coincidental thing and they twist it and you're like, oh, maybe Alex is right about this sometimes or something like that. But if you're listening to the show and you hear that, why aren't you just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, because just divorced from any context, you don't need any context for you to just listen to that and go, that doesn't make sense, period. And even in my conspiracy world.
And Jordan, what if I were to tell you that clip I just played from Mike was 5 years old?
Same thing. is it 5 years old?
You wouldn't
I wouldn't know.
Know.
I would have no idea. No. You could have told me it was from 5 years ago, and I would not know.
No, it's from this episode, but it could have been from 5 years ago.
I was going to say, here's how I know it's true.
Similar things all the time.
Here's how I know that's true. When you said, what if I told you it was 5 years ago, my first thought was, that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Damn it, Dan. You found a clip of him saying something that sounds...
Wow, you are a witch.
No, but it would not be impossible.
No.
So that's the first scenario.
Okay, what's scenario two?
Scenario two is a little bit underwhelming when that's the first scenario.
The second scenario, and remember, this is a very dynamic situation. This could also play out, is that they are gearing up to flip the script and say, oh my God, these are Trump's vaccines that are killing everybody. Trump pushed Operation Warp Speed. Trump pushed the pharmaceutical companies. He twisted their arms. He gave them incentives. He pushed the FDA and the CDC for emergency authorization. And they're going to say Trump's a mass killer from the vaccines, but the rest of science is good.
That's why the Democrats, when he was launching it, laid those Easter eggs of saying, don't trust him.
Yep. Exactly, but remember,
he was lying all the time.
Scenario, which this is maybe a 20% chance of happening. The other scenario is the 80%. But in this scenario, they are trying to then save science and save the medical journals and save the vaccine industry and save the CDC by turning against Trump and putting all the blame on Trump.
Again, this is that same narcissism. Like, this must be about my hero.
Wow.
Like, I hate Trump as much as the next person.
Yeah.
Probably. Maybe a little bit over average. and I think that it would be ludicrous to imagine people blaming any problems with the vaccine on Trump.
Yeah.
To imagine that he had any direct involvement with the medical stuff outside of doing things that he should have done.
Yeah.
Like, you know, buying surplus amounts of vaccines in order to make sure that they would become available, the expediting processes and things like that. Honestly, he probably should have done more. But
of course,
let's imagine that there is something that comes about that is a unexpected consequence of unforeseen consequence.
Sure.
I don't think that anybody in their right mind would blame Trump for that.
No. Why?
Yeah.
That would be an insane thing to do.
It would.
That would be a fundamental lack of understanding of, let's say, cause and effect.
Sure. I know a guy who has a lot of examples that might clear that up. I listened to this and I was like, all right, the first scenario is kind of fun. There's, you know, door-to-door executions, there's a financial collapse. It's
sure,
you know,
we could use Daleks in this, but I'll let it go.
It's exciting. Oh, Daleks are gone.
Daleks with guns should definitely be still in play if we're going door-to-door.
There is an excitement to this in terms of like a sci-fi movie plot.
Sure.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
You could see this.
Totally.
It'd be bleak. It'd be shot in dark.
Cormac McCarthy could write it.
Everybody would be dirty. Might get nominated. The second scenario stinks.
They're trying to save science by blaming the vaccine's failures on Trump.
Yeah, like Trump was mixing up the vaccine with a spoon or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no. I mean, not even that. Like, that's borderline. Trump was going to view the factory where they make the vaccine, and he, like, elbows something into a giant
like a fucking
vat.
Mr. Bean.
Yes,
sketch.
Exactly. Yes, that's what they're talking about. Yes.
I just think this is what a kid would think.
No, this is childish. Stupid. This is so stupid.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
Yep.
It's so sad. It's unfair for me, and it's unfair for them. Like, the imbalance of just ability to interact with reality is unfair. You know, like it's a privilege in some ways to just be able to go outside and see, look, there is a street. That's mm-hmm. what it looks like, and that's what it is. And they don't have that. Mm-hmm. They just don't.
That street probably hates Trump.
Exactly. Hmm. Like, it's just, you just don't get it.
Yeah.
Oh, sad.
Yeah. But we have our own sort of things that we need to be concerned about.
Yeah.
Namely, that we live in a city.
Oh, no.
Every major city in America, once this collapse kicks in, every city becomes a death zone. A war zone, lawless chaos, looting, rape, every insanity that you can think of, they will be unsurvivable. And if you're not bugged out of a city already, or if you don't have a plan to bug out before this happens, it will become your tomb.
This city is going to be your tomb.
They, every time mm-hmm. he says every major city. Every time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's everything that is going to happen will eventually lead to... Every major city will explode.
Mm-hmm.
At no point in time,
death traps.
At no point in time have these cities exploded.
No.
No, they just keep going.
Sure, and sometimes there are pockets of unrest that happen within cities around, you know, particularly resonant events.
Mm-hmm.
But the cities don't end up...
Cities don't burn down.
They don't end up becoming everyone's tomb or whatever.
And I'll tell you why, and I'll give you a good reason why.
Ooh.
Right? And I'll just throw this at you.
Sure.
Okay? Everybody lives here.
Uh-huh.
So we don't want to burn it down.
Mm. You know, there is a piece of it, I think.
Yeah.
I don't really fully understand exactly what this obsession comes from. This desire to fuck with people and make them leave cities.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's trying to, like if it's a long con to try and get more population into rural areas to increase representation in the House or something.
I
don't know, but...
I think it's just that cities... are less homogenized than rural communities.
So it's just more in your head than it is actual advice.
Exactly.
He doesn't want anyone to actually leave the city. He just wants the people he's talking to who don't live in cities to look at cities as if they were death traps.
Exactly.
Because they're not all white
They're
people.
Not all white people. Yes. I really do believe yeah. that the...
I think there probably is a bit of that.
Because every... And growing up in rural Illinois to extremely religious parents is like... You get the constant drumbeat of stories of people who went away to college, who went away to the city, who moved to the city.
Sure.
And then they come back and they have all these different ideas and stuff. And that's just because they meet non-white people.
Mm-hmm.
They meet people who aren't the same as them and they go, oh, you're still people. Cities are a representation of looking at people who are different from you and calling them your neighbor.
Yeah.
You know?
Seeing people with different life experience or even just different ideas as your peers and equals.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I bet there is a piece of that.
Yeah.
So Mike goes on his merry way.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, look, it wasn't his best outing. But I honestly think that the realization that I had of, like, these guys actually are friends.
Yeah.
I think that's fun.
That is fun.
And then second, like, the juxtaposition of those two scenarios is unacceptable. It sucks.
It does seem like one of them, he put all of his eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
The other one was very underbaked.
Yeah, it's like somebody who's like, all right, I got a pitch meeting in the morning.
Yeah.
Stay up all night getting this elaborate plot for one. Mm. And then they're like, oh, yeah, half an hour laying out this detailed scenario. And they go, all right, yeah, what's your second one? Guy falls in love.
We're actually going to pick up that one.
Hmm. Little disappointing. You kind of
you know, maybe we were going to pass on the second one anyways, but now I think we're going to pass on both.
Yeah, get out of here, Mike.
Bye.
So Alex talks about the first people who got the Pfizer shot. He might be wrong about some of this.
Mm.
Look at this video. First man to receive the Pfizer shot. He was dead a month later. It's on screen. I mean, we're watching them snuff film. That's a snuff film if you're a TV viewer.
Oh, my God.
And it's just all out in the open.
It's actually the first person who got a Pfizer shot. It was a 90-year-old woman named Margaret Keenan. But Alex did say the first man.
Okay.
You know?
He did say that. Yeah.
And the first man to get the Pfizer shot, you know what his name was? William Shakespeare. I wish I was making that up.
That's real?
His name is Bill Shakespeare.
All right. Yeah. Get out of here.
It's an 81-year-old dude in the UK.
I swear to you, I would have turned him away. Huh. You don't get to be the first. You can be number two, but this is not, we're not going down in history as Bill Shakespeare being the first to get this fucking vaccine.
The conspiracy theorists are going to have a field day with this.
We can't do it.
Can't do it.
I just can't do it.
So this was last December, and he did not die a month later. He passed away in May of this year of an unrelated illness. Alex is just fudging the details of this stuff because he knows that the reality of these stories isn't salacious enough to justify his absurd conjectures and calling this a fucking snuff film.
Yeah.
It's nonsense.
That's ridiculous. And of course, the first people to get the vaccine were also the ones closest to dying anyways.
Yeah.
That's how it worked.
And from an article that I read about his passing, like, it was one of something he was incredibly proud of,
being able to be a part of. Yeah.
And it's just a real tragedy to see. I mean, granted, Alex doesn't know his name, and he's not really besmirching his memory that much, but he is still using his death as a prop, and that's gross.
Yeah, he's exploiting somebody who really believed that what they were doing was right, and that's fucked up.
Yep.
Yep.
So we got one last clip here. This is how Alex decides to end the show. Again, brick through the computer.
And so Sunday Live, this is the Alex Jones Show Sunday, but Sunday Live is the next 2 hours. I'm going to come back and play all those doctor clips, the head medical dean at Baylor coming out and saying the shots aren't safe. I mean, this is big. So humanity's fighting back against this globalist tyranny. That is next hour. I'm going to play clip after clip after clip after clip.
Fuck you. And actually, Jordan, we've run out of time. We are going to talk about those clips that Alex played on the other show, but we're going to have to do it later.
We're going to have to do it on another show. I think we're going to have to do it on next week. Frankly, I think you spent so much time with those clips that you have too much information to impart.
How dare you? I hate this. But it's so transparent.
Yeah.
It's legitimately so embarrassingly clear what he's doing.
Yeah.
And it is like, okay, there's a sensational headline that I'm going to tease throughout the show that is broadcast on some radio stations.
Yep.
And then in order to actually cover the story or whatever, I'm going to force people to get it on my own platform.
You got it.
Try and migrate some of this away from that into my own market. And maybe a part of that, I don't know if it is necessarily, but like, I did notice when I went to his website that there's a lot more MyPillow ads on the website stuff.
Interesting.
Maybe not on the radio shows, but on his website. Mike Lindell seems to be getting involved.
Oh boy.
In advertising.
Oh man. That's like him, like, okay, I got this clip that's going to prove everything I'm going to say, and
everything.
I'm going to play it. Mm-hmm. All right. And then but it's okay. And then you're like, okay, I got to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Oh, you came back. I played the clip when you were gone.
Oh, you just missed it.
I just played the clip. It proved everything I was saying. Just continue to believe whatever I'm saying, but I just played the clip. You want to hear it? Okay, cool.
I've played the clip 100 times. I have to play it again?
I don't have to do it. I don't have to do it, but anyways.
Yeah.
Go to the bathroom again.
Yeah, it's really, really frustrating, and I hate it. And we've seen this strategy play out, like, a bit. Recently,
yeah,
this weird, like, oh, didn't have time to do my thing, I'm gonna do it in the other show.
Yeah, that's so annoying.
Yeah, I hate it. So you know, this episode was real dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, like, one of the things that I find very fascinating is that this idea that Alex had, first of all, done 6 hours of research and somehow got dizzy because he had so much information or whatever. And then he gets on air, and one of the primary sources he uses is a tweet.
Yeah.
Thumbs down.
Took him a long time to find that tweet, though.
Thumbs down. If he even did 20 minutes of preparation for the show, he could have found the underlying report that tweet was referencing and not been a guy who's reporting on a tweet.
It would not have been hard.
Yeah, that would have been probably the thing that anybody would do if they cared.
Anybody who cared.
And then he talks to Mike Adams about bullshit forever, but they have fun. He's talking to that weirdo from Canada who wanted to start a weird school, but he doesn't talk about the weird school.
Weird.
And then he doesn't have time to get to his stories.
I'm sorry. I was having fun riffing with my buddy about imaginary scenarios that can't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unacceptable if you imagine that he's serious about anything he's saying. Like, if you actually think that he thinks there's value in getting these stories to people, then this is nonsensical. But on the other hand, if you recognize that he knows that the entertainment value is having Mike Adams scare people, then you kind of get that, like, oh, this is what drives sales, as opposed to people being disappointed by news stories not living up to the way you're teasing them.
Right. It's him not care. You know, it's like in the way we view it, if you cared about your show, then you would take the things that you say and then do them. If you cared about your show, you would work on it. You would prepare for it.
Yep.
You would make sure things sounded good. You would get a staff that can fucking keep your phone calls on air. All of those things.
I would honestly suggest that if Alex could prove the things that he claims he could prove, he has a moral responsibility to do his job. Like, he doesn't just have, like, a financial incentive.
Yeah.
It is an imperative that he do it. And he can't. And he doesn't, and he couldn't.
Here's the biggest problem, all right? Because he can't, won't, and lies about it, right? Then it becomes our moral imperative to fucking talk about it. He's making us work for him. That's what is happening. That and any competent system of morality.
I guess if we think about it that way, it's good. It's nice to have a boss again. Anyway, Jordan, we'll be back. I feel a little bit rusty this time. It's weird. This is the longest time we've gone without recording an episode or seeing each other for quite a while.
It's been a long, long time.
So I feel like I'm a little off my game. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for our next episode. I think we'll be a little bit more in the groove, a little bit.
I'm feeling happy.
Me too.
I'm just feeling happy. It was good to do the show. It's good to get back.
Yeah,
I love this. This is one of those. And you know,
even if this is dumb bullshit, still great to.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's one of those things where, man, vacation's great. But when you really love what you do, God, you miss working.
Yeah. Well,
it's weird.
I mean, that's because
I don't do much.
Yep. God damn it, I can't wait to get back to the office where I do nothing.
Hey, when you get a good job, you can't be jealous of it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to kill me now. Oh, boy.
Well, we'll be back with the ghost of Jordan. No, we'll be back on Friday. But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight and @GoToBedJordan.
We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. It's right. And if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people doing God's work.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis. I am emotionally unbalanced and moody General Patton giving a very wishy-washy speech.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.